Tonight, on The War Between Brothers, we bring you more letters from the front. On this episode, we have a treasure cache of recently uncovered letters between a Union soldier and his sweetheart back home, read for the first time in public. To start, George writes from Virginia, having completed the arduous march from Appomattox in 1865.
Dearest Emily, war is hell. My shoes fell apart before Appomattox and I had to hike barefoot all the way to Virginia. My feet were so sore. Luckily, Herbert in the next tent had some ointment and gently rubbed it on for me. Remember me to your mother. I hope to be home in spring. Your beloved, George.
How we've missed you at the farm. You've been so brave in this hellish war of brother upon brother, and so fortunate to have met Herbert. I too have missed you in my bed at night. I hold your nightshirt to my face to catch your smell and think about you and how I long for your touch. Stay safe and return to me. Your dearest, Emily.
Beloved Emily, Virginia in the spring is like nothing I've ever seen. It warms here so much earlier than back home. Herbert says orchards smell of honeysuckle and promises to take me a stroll in. It is still cold at night, though, so to stay warm, we lay close. As much as I miss you, it warms me to be held. Your George.
My sweet George, your last letter arrived late, due to some problems with the train line, so I don't know if the evening chill of the early spring has yet passed. It is wonderful that you have found a friend. I wonder, though, as I sleep alone each night, if I should be jealous and wish to be held by you myself. If I could be your Herbert, I would keep you warm each night with my body. I would press my bosom against you. You could take my teat and nurse yourself to health each night. Tell me you want me, George, and I will be yours. Your fondest beloved, Emily.
Hello, Emily. I've received your letter with its appealing imagery. Herbert is concerned that it overexcited me. He said that sleeping in an aroused state is harmful to restfulness and makes for poor soldiers. Fortunately, he was able to help me out and I slept soundly as a baby. Keep well, Emily. From George.
My fondest, dearest George, your letter warmed and energized me. The idea of my excited George, in his bedtime skivvies, burning with desire for me, needing release. Well, I can only hope you knew what to do. Perhaps that is what you meant by Herbert helping you out? If you were here with me, I would help you out myself. I would use my mouth and my hands and ensure you were relieved and could sleep soundly. I would stroke and caress you, even the most private parts of you. There is nothing I wouldn't do for you, my dearest, much missed and lovingly remembered George. I belong to you. Emily.
Hi, Emily. Very quickly, all continues to be well here. They say we will march south soon, and perhaps things will be less easy and I may not have as much chance to write. You'll be pleased to know that Herbert is also well. With the influx of soldiers from the west, we have had to bunk up two to a cot now. But we are comfortable enough, and staying warm and unexcited has become less of a problem. Herbert loved your last letter. I was unsure what you meant by mouth and hands, but he showed me. Stay well. George.
Dear George, keeper of my heart and soul, I was so thrilled and excited to receive your last missive. I'm amazed and a bit concerned to hear you are forced to lay at night with another man. I hope your thoughts of me of my heaving bosom and soft, warm thighs did not cause you to discomfort him. I am afraid it will be a struggle for me to limit your excitement, as the thought of you has aroused me so. Why, just yesterday, I took your letters and undershirt to the barn, where I could be alone and, must admit, my hand strayed to where I would dare not mention to Pastor John. I hope you will think of me, though, of my sticky, sweet hands and needy exertions, and return to me soon so that I might give you a taste of what I have for you. I would allow you to delve and to sample whatever you might want. I can only dream of you probing me with your warm tongue. I even shouted out for you at the moment of triumph there in the barn. I burn for you, Emily.
Em, thank you for your letter. Sounds like you're well amused. Our march to the south is now less likely as Richmond has fallen, and there's talk of surrender. It is possible we may finally see an end to this hellish conflict. When word came down, there was much celebrating. Herbert and I danced and hugged, and then we found some quiet space to truly express our joy at the prospect of peace. And peace is a kind of love, Emily, one that can only be expressed physically, with a soft hardness given and taken too, with thrusts of passion in the backside that truly set one afire. And so, satisfied to taste the sweet, sweet outpourings of romance, I'm finally enjoyed. I've hated war, but I've also finally found my true meaning. George.
My passionate man, my ultimate love, my dear, dear George. So pleased I am to be in receipt of your letter. Yes, 1,000 times yes. Please return to me and I will. I touch myself so intimately thinking on it now. You, shucked of your skivvies, burning with desire to place your hardness in my rear. Whatever you want, dear George, whatever you need, I am prepared to give you all. I will disrobe for you and let you place your eyes and your hands on my teats. I will take you in my warm, wet mouth and prepare your hardness. I will slurp you as one does the candy lollies at the spring fair. I will grease myself with the dairy butter produced that day, and I will open my buttocks to meet your thrusts. Lay your strong hands on my hips and take me, George. Take me however firmly as you desire. I am prepared to be your woman, to be whatever you need. You can strike my bottom with your hands. You can cover me in your excretions. You can ask me to clean you with my mouth, my love. For I am the lowest of low next to you. In eternal lust, your Emily.
Hey, Em. I was surprised to receive your last letter. It may be that our alignment of expectations has drifted apart, as with the front wheels of the Franklin's carriage last year. I must thank you, however, for some fantastic ideas that I've shared to Herbert, who is eager to try them out. He has prepared me a special collar, as one might give a dog, that I should wear at night. It warms me deeply, Em, to place it on. And now, with the swallowing of excretions added to my experience, I feel I've truly found my place. It may be some time before I return, if at all. G.
And that is the conclusion of this cache of letters from the front. We know little of the life of George from this point. Our archivists believe he did indeed survive the war. There is some indication that he did not return home, but rather went to live on a farm in Maryland. We have this one daguerreotype photo of a naked man and some sort of elaborate neck gear crawling on all fours from 1893 that we suspect may be George, but it has not yet been definitively established. Of Emily, however, we do know more. At the conclusion of the war, she left her family's farm and went to Portland, Maine, where she established Miss Minnie's Fifth Street Brothel, which survived the 1893 Portland brothel burnings. She became known for more extreme services, often begging patrons to, quote, treat me the way George should have, spank me, make me take it in the rear, cover me in your excretions. It is believed that she married a preacher later in life, and together they traveled the Midwest with a revival show. Thank you for joining us for tonight's episode of The War Between Brothers. Join us next week for more letters from the front.